Well, praise the Lord. Dads are a gift from the Lord. Amen. And if you are a father, you've experienced children and how much of a gift that they are. They're a reward, the Bible says. In Psalm chapter 127, verse 1, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchmen stand guard in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat. For he grants sleep to those he loves. Sons are a heritage from the Lord, children a reward. Like arrows in the hands of a warrior are sons born in one's youth. Blessed is the man whose quiver," now quiver is the thing that they hang over their backs that the arrows stay in, "blessed is the man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their enemies in the gate. Children are a reward from the Lord." Now I know. What? I know that sometimes your children don't seem like so much of a reward. Sometimes they feel like something else. But they are a reward from the Lord. Now, today is not a message about children, although children are a part. You know, you can't talk about fathers without talking about the children, right? And so children are a part of it. But there are some things that fathers, there's certain characteristics of fathers. Sometimes dads need an interpreter. And I was looking in the men's thesaurus this week. And I have a few things in addition to this quick video clip here that might help to explain a little bit what dads are thinking and what dads really mean when they say stuff, okay? So this is taken from the men's thesaurus, and in parentheses, men don't always say what they mean. Ladies, please allow me to translate for your future benefit. When a man says, "It would take too long to explain," he means, "I have no idea how it works." When a man says, "Take a break, honey, you are working too hard," he means, "I can't hear the game over the vacuum cleaner." When a man says, "That's interesting, dear," he means, "Are you still talking?" When a man says, "It's a guy thing," he means, "There is no rational thought pattern connected with this, and you have no chance of making it understandable." When a man says, "I can help with dinner," he really means, "Why isn't it ready yet?" When a man says, "Uh-huh, sure, honey," or "Yes, dear," he means absolutely nothing. It's just a conditioned response, really. When a man says, "You know how bad my memory is," he really means, "I can remember the theme song to all my favorite shows and the VIN number to every car I've ever known, but yes, I forgot your birthday." When a man says, "Oh, don't fuss. I just cut myself. It's no big deal," he means, "I've probably severed a limb, but I will bleed to death before I admit I am hurt. So get over here and help me." my wife will love this. When a man says, "I can't find it," he means, "It didn't fall into my outstretched hand, so I'm absolutely clueless." Guys? When a man says, "I heard you," He really means, I haven't the foggiest clue what you just said, and I'm hoping desperately that I can fake it well enough so that you won't spend the next 3 days yelling at me about it. When a man says, honey, you look terrific, he really means, oh, God, please don't try one more outfit on before we leave. I'm starving. When a man says, I'm not lost, I know exactly where we are, he means no one will ever see us alive again. When a man says, I don't think I can go today, he means shopping is not a sport, and no, I am never going to think of it that way. Last few. When a man says, I don't remember saying that, it's because he means anything I may have said 6 months ago is inadmissible in an argument. In fact, all past arguments become null and void after 7 days. And last, when a man says, that's not what I meant, he means if something I said can be interpreted two ways, one of the ways that makes you sad or angry, I meant the other one. So ladies, hopefully that will help you to understand your men, and you'll be able to communicate a little bit better in the future. Now, dads are very different from moms. We have to, in many cases, be the strong, unemotional one. Even though things may be falling to pieces, we are expected to be the one to be able to make good, rational decisions instead of those emotional ones that moms sometimes make. Okay? Now listen, I want you to all take this with a grain of salt, okay? I don't need any of you ladies coming up to me afterwards with a word from the Lord that, you know, okay? We are, in many cases, dads, to provide for our families. As a matter of fact, in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, it says, if anyone does not provide for their families or his relatives, and especially his family, he is denied the faith. He has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. An infidel? Wow. That's some serious stuff right there, wouldn't you say? I have some statistics that I would like, just a few, to bring to your attention today. Now, I heard this statistic just the other day. 38% of the people purchasing gifts for Father's Day, there's 38% less that is spent on Father's Day than Mother's Day. Now, that is just not right. Okay, we got to fix this. We ought to be contacting our senators or something. 38% more on Mother's Day than on Father's Day. Now, here are some very interesting and very true statistics. Now, listen to this. 68 million of our nation's 94 million. Now, this was back in around 2005, 2007, so things that may have changed a little bit since then, but 68 million of our nation's 94 million men don't attend any church. 68 million of 94. This is in spite of the fact that 86% of them grew up with some sort of church background. Isn't that interesting? Research has revealed that if a child, now listen, these are really interesting, that if a child is the first one in the household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that everyone else in the household will become a Christian. So if the child is the first one to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that the whole family, the rest of the family, will become Christians as well. It's not very high at all. If the mother is the first to accept Christ, the percentage goes up quite a bit, to 17%. that after the mother receives, if the mother is the first one to receive Christ and become a Christian, 17% of the households will become Christians if the mom is the first. But if the father is the first one to become a Christian in the household, listen to this, 93% probability that everybody else in the household will become Christians as well. 93%. Okay? These are statistics. When a father leads spiritually, in most cases, good things happen at home. The rest of the family will follow. And I want to confess to you that never has there been a generation in our world where this has been more important than now. Will you agree with me? We need strong leadership from fathers, don't we? We need strong leadership. We live in a culture where, and this is something that just really irritates me, and I don't mean in any way to step on any toes, because I know that this mentality has crept into the church as well. And I don't really mean to offend anybody here today. But my objective is to create some clarity in the midst of confusion. All right? And I mean to speak truth in the midst of lies. Okay? And the words that I speak, don't take my word for it. I'm just a man. But what I'm speaking is biblical. Check there. Okay? We live in a culture where the gender roles are being skewed. Would you agree? The gender roles are being skewed these days. We see movies and TV shows and commercials. If you go home today and you sit in front of your TV, you will see these things. And if you're not paying attention, they just go right over your head. But if they're pointed out, and I hope that's the case, that when I point some of these things out, that later on when you watch television, you will recognize what is being done. And that is gradually picking away at your belief system. Okay? We see in movies and TV shows and commercials depicting fathers shaving their legs. Have you seen any commercials recently with a father shaving their legs? Okay, you watch your TV, okay, and I just saw it the other day, and I've seen it several times since then. It's a man in a bathroom, and his daughter is there, and he's shaving his legs, and they put it in context. It's no mother is present, like he's showing his daughter, and okay, so if a father is shaving his legs to show his daughter how to shave her legs, really, so okay. Fathers are now caring for the babies in the commercials, all right, changing the diapers, all right. Bear with me, okay. I know you're thinking, well, Pastor, okay, bear with me. Fathers are doing the laundry and the cooking, okay. Sometimes you'll see them with an apron. Or, on the contrary, father is fat and lazy, drinking beer and watching TV while work around the house goes untouched. Okay? These are portrayals of fathers these days. Okay? Now, along with this, we're seeing mothers portrayed as the workers. All right? Movies nowadays are coming out with the women, they're the ninjas. Okay, the women are the fighters, and they're physically fit, and they can do all these acrobatic things, and they're the tough ones. Okay, and in our commercials, the women are holding the cordless drills. All right, they're wearing tool belts and work boots and hard hats. Have you seen any commercials like this? and or they're being the company executives, Now, I want to ask you, is there anything really morally wrong with these things that I've mentioned to you? No, there isn't. Okay? Let's take, for instance, I changed a ton of diapers as a father, a ton. All right? And I say that because I tell you truthfully that I wanted to be part of everything that my kids were in, okay? Anything that involved my kids, I wanted to be part of it. I didn't want, in a sense, to miss out, okay? And that's why I was like that. Some fathers are not like that. That's cool, okay? So is it wrong for the father to change the diapers? Absolutely not, okay? Is it wrong for the mother to be holding the cordless drill? And no, it's not wrong, okay? All right, and I just want to give a disclaimer here. There are parents within the sound of my voice, whether it be here in the sanctuary or on listening to me on a CD or on the internet, all right, that are single parents. And let me tell you, that's a tough thing. That is a really tough thing. Okay? Or parents of blended families, two families coming together to make one. That's a tough situation, okay? And I commend you, and I applaud you parents that are doing your best to raise your kids in those situations in the ways of the Lord, okay? Because that's not easy to do. So is there anything really morally wrong with these things? No, not really. But the problem is, the family has become, unbalanced, okay? And the children, as they're being raised, are being more and more confused as to what is right and what is wrong, okay? And it's really important, especially nowadays, for there to be a balanced approach in the family. The family unit, have you noticed, has been being torn down. It has been ruthlessly abused. And it's ridiculed as being prudish and old-fashioned and irrelevant in today's world. When you start messing with the family unit, things go downhill from there. When the family unit is not strong, I'm not saying perfect, okay? There's no such thing. Can we agree on that? There is no such thing as a perfect family, okay? Leave It to Beaver is not real, okay? If you've never watched Leave It to Beaver, well, I'm not going to tell you to go look it up, but the family unit is so vitally important in the lives of our children. How many, more than 50% of all marriages end in divorce? Do you know that? And that doesn't mean just outside the church. That's inside the church as well. There is very, very little difference from marriages in the church to marriages outside of the church. Isn't that something? That's scary, friends. All right? And I'm not preaching. I know that there are some of you who have been divorced here. And if that is the case, I know that you're making the best of it. You're here today. All right? And so that's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the family unit is being attacked by the enemy himself. By the enemy himself. Both the father and the mother, they balance and complement each other, wouldn't you say? It's very important. For example, and these are just examples again, okay? Where a father may lack in being compassionate, the mother is able to balance him, okay, in being compassionate. All right? So where a mother may lack in discipline, the father is able to balance her with disciplining the children. You see how they complement each other? When where one struggles, the other one is strong. And I have seen this so many times in my own marriage and parenting our own children. There would be times when I just could not deal with that situation. And my wife just stepped right up, you know, and the opposite. And there was times when she just couldn't handle what was going on. And then I stepped in and we were there and we complemented each other. And we worked together. In wrestling, they have a phrase called tag team. That's what we're doing. We're tag teaming our kids. This way, the child grows up with what Dr. James Dobson from Focus on the Family. Do any of you know him? Have you heard of him? Focus on the Family. If you haven't heard of that, if you haven't heard of Dr. James Dobson, get a hold of his books, listen to the program on the radio. It'll change the way that you handle parenting. It's awesome. And we have used it an awful lot. And so... This way, the balanced approach to parenting, the child grows up with, as Dr. James Dobson says, with lots of love balanced with discipline. Lots of love balanced with discipline. Okay, and you'll hear him say that over and over. And again, I just want to commend those parents who are single parents and raising children and those of blended families. I commend you and I applaud you. What's wrong with this situation, with these gender roles being skewed, is it's like there's an agenda behind the shows that are coming out, a push. And it's like it's being pushed right in your face. Even cartoons, friends. Even cartoons. We have had to remove channels from our television viewing from my kids because of the things that are on them, that are pushing this sort of agenda. That's not easy to do. What's wrong is the God-ordained model of the family is being toyed with. There is a model for the family, and not every family is the same, okay? But there is a model that works best. What's wrong with this is that the strength of the family unit is being torn down. What's wrong with this is that the children are the ones that are paying the price for these, quote, improvements in the family unit. Oh, how our world needs strong fathers. Strong fathers. When I mention the word father, some of you have a great feeling. I do. When I think of my dad was a great man, always modeled to me living the ways of the Lord, and never once did I see him do something that was contradictory to the things that he said. Never. I can never even remember that. All right. My dad always showed me love. There was never any question as to whether my father loved me, ever. Okay? My father was a strong disciplinarian and yet compassionate man. He was very balanced. Some of you may not have that luxury. Some of you, when we think of fathers, it brings a worry to you, an anxiety. Okay? And so it's difficult, as was mentioned in our worship service, to think of fathers and think of God the Father as our Heavenly Father. That whole terminology is difficult for you to handle because of the example that your father gave to you. We get it. God gets it. You know? And your experiences are duly noted. Okay? Or maybe you are the father that didn't treat your children, looking back now, the way that you should have. Again, duly noted. All right? And there's probably fathers from all aspects of this and children from all aspects of this and different viewpoints. All right? Whatever the case, it's not too late to start making some changes, okay? If you're alive, it's not too late. Amen. It's not too late. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, this is the first commandment with what? A promise. The first commandment with a promise. Now, we know that the first part of the commandments are how to please God, how to live for God. The rest of them are how to live with each other. Okay? If you look at the commandments, you can see that. But this one says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Honor your father and mother. And here's the promise, that it may go well with you. And that you may live a long life, that it may go well with you. Now, when I was younger and not so smart, I used to think that because the man is the head of the house, that meant everybody else had to do what he said. And so he was the boss. He got to boss everybody else around. Now, it didn't take me long after I was married to find out that this is not necessarily the case. Okay? And as I studied more, because I wanted to be a good daddy, I wanted to be a good husband, a good father, I found out that it's more about responsibility and it's more about serving than it is about everybody obeying what I say. Okay? And so basically what that means is that the father is responsible, basically, for the direction of the household. All right? So when it's basically the responsibility falls on the dad's desk. All right? Does that mean that everybody else gets to be irresponsible? No, that's not it. But God has ordained it this way. And we talked about the biblical model, okay? The biblical model has the husband, the father, as the head of the house. And again, I want to make very, very clear that that does not mean that you get to boss your wives and your children around. That is not what that means at all. Okay? It means that you are responsible for what happens in your house and the direction your family is heading, fathers. Okay? And the direction your family needs to head. All right, for instance, some of you here today are the first in your family to really lead in going to church. Okay, that is a responsibility. You recognized that responsibility for leading your family in the ways of God, and you're taking that seriously. And so you're making sure that your family is here. Some of you are young, some of you are older. Okay? Man, that's awesome. That is truly awesome. Okay? So it's your responsibility, along with your helpmate, which is your wife, all right, your team member, the love of your life, the queen of your world, men, husbands, fathers, okay, to direct and guide your family. 1 Timothy 5:8. Well, I read that already. You know, we think of sometimes when people hear of God, Father God, they think of this, and we've talked about it before, that, you know, he's waiting for somebody to make a step. He's poised there like this. Wow, that's hard to do. He's poised, waiting for us to make a mistake. so that when we do, he's there to stomp on us. And that's not a biblical representation of what God the Father is. No. As a matter of fact, in Psalm 145, verse 8, listen to this. The Lord is gracious and full of what? Compassion. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger. Now, there's something us fathers can learn from. Okay? Sometimes the families do things that we know they know better, right? And they do something different. And that makes us angry, bam, just like that. And sometimes we don't respond to that very well. Sometimes we get ourselves in trouble. Sometimes we say things and do things that later on we regret, don't we? We regret. And those things we can't take back. That's tough. That's hard. But God is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. I remember my dad being that way. Just full of compassion. He didn't let me get away with stuff, but he was always lovingly, even in discipline. I knew that he loved me. And you know what? One thing that really bothers me to this day is the fact that I let him down a few times. I let him down a few times. And he had to get hard on me. And I was very unfamiliar with that. And it bothers me even now to think that I pushed him to that place. It bothers me. And I know that it was really hard for him. And it bothers me to know that I grieved him. Does that make sense? Have you ever done anything to grieve your father, your daddy? Have you ever done anything to grieve your heavenly father? In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 5 says, as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. God disciplines us. All right? He does discipline us. I had I think I've told you this before, but I had a professor in college that I asked. It was part of one of our projects that we had to do. And we were to ask and do a paper on whether or not God punishes. And so I went and asked one of my most trusted professors that question, does God punish us? And he said no. He said no. And that always bothered me. It always bothered me because I always figured God did punish us. But here it says that God does punish us because he loves us as his children, as his sons. And if so, God will punish us, all right? As a man disciplines his son, Deuteronomy 8:5, so the Lord disciplines you. In Hebrews 12, verse 6, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Okay? I want to give you an example of somebody that chose to lead his family, a father that chose to lead his family in the ways of the Lord, though the other people were undecided. All right? Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. This is a great verse to remember and to memorize, commit to memory. Joshua 24, verse 15. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And all these other people were following this one and that one and making decisions and leaving what they know to be the truth to follow other idols. Joshua convicts them all. And he's pointing the finger. You guys can do whatever you want, but for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Fathers, that is the attitude that we need to have for our families. Why is that? Why was it so important that Joshua followed the Lord? Because he knew it was right. He knew that God was the truth. He knew that he was real. And he knew along with walking in obedience to God's word comes favor, comes blessing. Amen?
Amen.
If we walk outside of God's laws and his blessings, trouble comes. I think of two people that were in this beautiful garden. And all these things God gave to them, but this one thing in the middle of the garden, this one tree, the tree of the knowledge of what? Good and evil, the Lord said.
Amen.
Don't eat from that tree. Don't eat from that tree. And man decided that they would go outside of what God commanded. And it was the fall of man. It was the fall of man. Friends, if we go outside of what God commands, it brings trouble on us. In Ephesians chapter 6, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise. And that it may go well with you, and that you may live long on the earth. And it says, fathers, do not what? Provoke your children to wrath. But bring them up in the nurturing. There's this caring. There is this comforting portrayal here in the ways of the Lord. Bring them up. Train them up in the ways of the Lord. Don't be so hard on your kids that you make them so angry that they just want to get away from you. Sometimes, fathers, we do that. Sometimes we're so hard on our kids. Sometimes we're nitpicky about our kids. Yeah? Sometimes we're so nitpicky that every little thing they do wrong, we're all over it. And pretty soon the kids, all they hear is all the stuff they do wrong. And so what kind of a mindset and self-esteem does that produce? That produces a mindset that I can't do anything right because my dad's on me all the time. I wish I could do something right. And then it progresses to this. Well, if I can't do anything right, why should I even try? Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurturing and the training of the ways of the Lord. All right? That doesn't mean that we just let stuff go, but that means that we recognize and we look for opportunities to show love and compassion and mercy to our children. Yeah, they do stuff that just makes you like, That's going to happen. It's part of it. It's part of being a dad. Okay? It's part of it. But use and look for opportunities to show love and compassion to your children, to show love and to lift up your wife. Praise the Lord. Fathers, I hope that you hear my heart today. I hope that you grasp the word of the Lord today. Because there is enough guilt associated with fathers. I feel it myself, friends. I carry that weight with me. That we've made mistakes that we wish that we could fix. But you know what? You can't fix what has already happened. But you can change what happens in the future. All right? And so I'm not here to make you feel like less of a man or less of a father. And that's not it. That's not it at all. Be encouraged to be a good dad. Be encouraged to be a good husband. Show love, show compassion, show mercy. lead your family in the ways of God. Our world needs strong daddies. Amen?
Amen.
Would you stand with me today? Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for all these fine daddies that we have here. Father, I just pray for your blessing upon them. I pray that, Lord, you would remove the guilt of the mistakes that we may have made as fathers. I pray that you would help us, God, to follow your compassionate and merciful example. I pray that you would help us to lead our families in the ways of God. And I pray for your blessing and for your favor upon our households, Lord. And may we seek you first above all else. In Jesus' name, amen.